Let me see that book again. I'm not going to go too far here because at the end is a confession. Let's take the confession of the one we were reading there. Here we go. Say this. Say, he took my sickness,
my sicknesses,
and carried my pains.
Healing is in God's redemptive plan.
I no longer have to live with sickness and disease.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm healed, healthy, and strong.
Now shout amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well done, Sherry, Dean. Glory to God. Dean's on his way to work, and he is listening to us in his car radio right now. Praise God, because he can do that. Or on his phone through his some kind of way he's listening to us. I don't know. Glory to God. Well, are you ready for the Word of God this morning? Let's open our Bibles to Proverbs or look at whatever you're looking at. Proverbs chapter 12. Thank you, Jesus. We want to conclude our series on what we're calling the spirit of offense. And we did a little bit Wednesday night. Wednesday night we started on something else and toward the end of it, just for a few minutes, worked back into this message. But God had us doing something else about the current events and the election and so forth. But Proverbs chapter 12. And so we want to conclude our series. And we said to you, amen, talking about the spirit of offense, we said that love doesn't take offense. Amen. In other words, if we're going to walk in love, we're not going to hold anything against anybody. We're going to forgive people. We're not going to become bitter. We're not going to become resentful. And we're going to be very forgiving, praise God. So we don't take offense. Number two, we strive not to give offense. Amen. Not only should we not, obviously we should forgive other people if they wrong us, but, sometimes that's people's only approach. I got to forgive all these dirty, rotten people that treat me so ugly all the time. But we ought to think about the way we treat others. Amen. And of course, the golden rule, Jesus said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So we should treat other people the right way. Love, Romans 13 says, does no harm. Is that right, Romans 13? Does no harm to its neighbor. Amen. Let me look that up for you real quick. Make sure I give you the right thing. Love does no ill to its neighbor, some translations say. That's Romans 13:10. Love does no harm to a neighbor. And love, therefore, fulfills the whole law. So we strive not to become offended. We always forgive. And we treat other people the way we want to be treated. So we're not the ones going around causing offense. And then the third thing, we've mentioned it, but we hadn't talked about it, is love is not offended by the truth. Love is not offended by the truth. So I want to talk specifically to you about that. Amen. We should not become offended at the truth. We shouldn't become offended at people that give us the truth. You shall know the truth. You shall know the word, and the word, the truth, shall make you free. So you don't want to be mad at the word, or you don't want to turn away from somebody that's given you the truth or the word, because that's the only thing that'll set you free. Here in Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, it says, "Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid." Well, that doesn't need a lot of commentary, does it? whoever hates correction is stupid. But, I'll give you some anyway. The New Living Translation, I like this, that it's stupid to hate correction. Why? Because if somebody's giving you correction and it's godly correction, it's constructive criticism, that means we believe something that's wrong or we're doing something in the wrong way. And if you believe something that's wrong or doing something in the wrong way, then you're not going to have success. So that helps us. That doesn't hurt us in any way. Nonetheless, even though it's called constructive criticism, that means we are told that we are doing something wrong or there's a better way to do it or what we're doing, is not right in some way. And nobody likes that. But is that good for us?
Yes.
Or we can just keep doing it the wrong way and keep getting bad results. Keep believing the wrong thing and not get results. Other translations say to reject correction. To hate correction is stupid. To reject correction is truth. To reject correction is to reject the truth. Amen. You see, that means you're going to remain ignorant. There's nothing good about ignorance. Ignorance is a leading cause of trouble all over the world. It means you're wrong. Ignorance keeps us, and being wrong keeps us amen, from good things in life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It keeps us in the dark. It's the pathway to defeat, to trouble, to failure, and to cursing. It's the opposite of being blessed. If we're operating in ignorance, we're not going to be blessed. If we're doing things the wrong way, then obviously we're not blessed. Romans 12:1, the Amplified Bible says, whoever loves instruction and correction loves knowledge. But he who hates reproof is like a brute beast, stupid and indiscriminating. Amen. Praise God. So I like that. He who hates reproof is like a brute beast. It reminds me of Psalms 32, verses 8 and 9. Let me just paraphrase this to you. But in those verses, Psalms 32, 8 and 9, God says, I'll instruct you in the way you should go. I'll give you the truth. The way that you should go is the right way to go. The way that you should go, the way that I instruct you, I'll instruct you with truth. I'll instruct you in the right way you should go, and that'll bless you, and that'll help you, and that'll make you a tremendous blessing in life. Amen? Because what I tell you is the right way to go. It is the best way to go. Can you say amen? Amen? It's the way that leads to life. It's the way that leads to victory. It's the way that leads to success and blessings. So don't be like a stupid horse. Don't be like a stupid mule who fights and resists. They fight and resist what's best for them. You know, sometimes an animal, you're doing things for them that'll help them, that'll bless them, but they're fighting you. Amen? They fight and resist what helps them or what makes them useful. Glory to God. And you know, the Proverbs, the book of Proverbs by itself, just the book of Proverbs, not counting the whole Bible, not including the whole Bible, but just the Proverbs, the book of Proverbs by itself has numerous scriptures that tell us we ought to listen to godly advice and godly counsel and godly advice and how that's what a humble person would do. But a scorner or a proud person rejects knowledge and reject the truth. And how if you reject godly counsel and how if you, just the book of Proverbs, if you reject the truth and you reject correction and you won't listen to the right way to go and so forth, about how devastating it is to your life and how you should listen to godly correction. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Just the book of Proverbs. I mean, right here in this same chapter, verse 15 says, a fool thinks he needs no advice, but a wise man listens to others. And so again, the Bible has much to say about not rejecting godly counsel, about not rejecting godly advice, and about taking correction, and about hearing the truth and not rejecting it. And much you could say about that. But relative to this particular teaching and what we're emphasizing, here's the point I want to make to you. Listen carefully. Love doesn't become offended at the truth or at people who give them the truth. Love doesn't become offended at the truth. And in a minute I'll tell you another side of being offended that most people have never considered. But love doesn't become offended at the truth, nor does it become offended at people that give them the truth. Again, only the truth will set us free. Only the truth will cause us to grow and mature. Only the truth will cause us to be blessed and to become a blessing. And like I said to you a while ago, obviously, constructive criticism is designed to help us in some way. But I want you to listen to me real carefully here to what I'm about to say. Even if in an unkind way or a fault-finding way or a very critical way, an attacking, destructive way, somebody criticizes us and they're not doing it trying to help us, you know, like constructively, they're doing it spitefully. They're doing it because they've got an issue with us. They're doing it for wrong motives, impure motives. They're out to get us in some way or to hurt us in some way. Even then, first of all, we should ask ourselves, is what they're saying true? Or is there any element of truth whatsoever in what they're saying? And if there is, even though they're wrong because they're doing it for wrong motives and they're just out to get us, but if what they're saying is true or even partially true or even has an element of truth in it, if there is, we should admit it, repent, and change. Now that's tough, isn't it? We don't even like constructive criticism. And here somebody comes along that's being our enemy, so to speak. They're out to get us. They're out to hurt us. They're doing it with malice. They're trying to bring us harm. But it's a mature attitude to say, well, the first thing I'm going to do is look at this and say, is there any truth here? And if there is, then we're going to be big enough to change and admit it. See, even if their motives were impure and wrong, we still want to listen to the truth always, always, always. Everybody say always. And you know, you can hear this. I remember the first time I heard that. I don't know when the first time I heard that was. I don't remember who I heard it from. Somebody saying, well, even if, you know, the wise thing to do, even if they're out to get you, is the first thing you ought to do is ask yourself, well, is there any truth to this? And the first time I heard that, I thought, well, you know, that's tough. You know, in everyday reality now, this person's really out to get you. That's tough, but I recognize the wisdom of that. But I don't think I necessarily put it into practice. Because next time somebody attacked me, you know, and was unjustly critical and was out to get me, you know, I didn't respond that way. And so years go by and you can hear that again. And 2 or 3 years can go by. Maybe this is the first time you've ever heard it. What I'm saying to you is you can hear that 4 or 5 times, and every time you hear it, you can look at yourself and you can realize and recognize and say, you know, that's really good advice. It really is. But I understand the reality of somebody attacking me in a critical way, that this is a tough thing to do. This would be a hard thing to do. But I see the wisdom in it. But listen to me. This is what I want to say to you. The day that you hear this and you take it to heart, the day that you hear this and you take it to heart, and you begin to actually practice it. In other words, somebody comes along and in an unkind, out-to-get-you manner, attacking manner, destructive manner, criticizes you, but you stop and say, is there any truth to this? Is there any element of truth to this? The day that you actually practice that and begin to do that is a great, great day in your life. Because it means you've taken a great step forward in actually walking in love. And it means that instead of being offended by some truth, even though it's being used in a wrong way, in an unkind way, in a critical way, in a mean-spirited way, in an out-to-get-you way, even though if we correct the wrongness in us, then we become a better person. We become more and more like Christ. We get blessed, and we become more of a blessing to others. Did you get that? Say, I get it.
I get it.
Amen. Amen. Now listen, there's another side to this. If somebody comes along and criticizes us in what we feel is unjust and unfair, and what they're saying is not true, and it's done with malice, and we realize and say to ourselves, we check our own heart, and we say, well, there's no truth in that. There's not even an element of truth in that. What should you do? Well, you should just forgive them and pray for them. Can you say amen? Amen. And you should take the attitude, I'm out to please the Lord. In other words, I'm sorry. You want me to dress in a zebra suit and wear a backwards collar and you think that's what a preacher should do. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to leave you. I'm going to hate your guts. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to pray for you. But I'm going to live to please the Lord, not to please you. And we have to understand that. That's very important. In other words, we cannot and we should not change our doctrine. We cannot and we should not walk away from what's godly and from what's right or violate our conscience or do things their way when we know for a fact that we're following God's plan for our life, which it could not change some behavior just because somebody else doesn't like it and is going to get mad about it. We're out to please the Lord. We're out to please the Lord. Amen? And so we should not compromise. I said we should not compromise. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I know this is different, but there's some things here that the Lord wants us to see, I believe, very strongly. I've been around, you know, I've been around pastors that they got light on full gospel truths, on the baptism of the Holy Spirit and healing and so forth, or the word of faith message. And yet somebody come along and start attacking them and criticize them, and their M.O. is just to immediately repent and say, oh, just forgive me, I was wrong. Well, no, they weren't wrong because they got a hold of the truth. You see, that's being a people pleaser if you just agree with everything that somebody says. I know we all want to be loved. We all want everybody to like us. Don't you want everybody to like you and love you? Amen. Well, I got news for you. Not everybody's going to like you. You're not going to be everybody's cup of tea. Not everybody's going to like the way you do everything or say everything. Praise God. Timmy said, me? That's right. That's the answer. Me? Well, everybody would love me. But we'll let you come up and make announcements for 3 weeks in a row and we'll find out somebody won't like the way you did it. A lot I could say. But we're out to please the Lord. And see, actually, in this case, it would be wrong, everybody say wrong, to abandon truth, to violate our own conscience, to abandon God's way and what we know to be right just in order to please another person. I was around a pastor, and I admired him, and he's my friend, and I love him, and he's a good man, got good things, and he and I were pretty close there for a while, but, you know, he's pastor of a different church, and you know, so I know him so good that I know some things about their church, and sometimes churches have little things going on, you know, and differences of opinion, and I noticed when anybody came to him, no matter what their opinion was, his M.O., this is what he felt was right leadership and godly leadership, was just to, I know, brother, I know, then 10 minutes later, somebody come along and say the exact opposite, and he'd agree with them, I know, brother, I know, that was just to keep everybody happy. But that's being a people pleaser, not a God pleaser. Amen. I mean, you know, sometimes on social media, somebody will say something and they'll say it in a very kind way, but then they'll get attacked by anti-Christ philosophies and anti-Christ doctrines and people that don't believe the Bible and people that don't revere God and people that don't respect God. But some of these people will immediately begin to apologize for what they said. Well, I can't apologize for the truth. I can't apologize that Jesus is the only way because Jesus is the only way. I can't apologize that some particular behavior is sin. God loves the sinner and he loves you just like he loves me. And I was, you know, but I'm not going to apologize for some sin. I love you, but I'm not going to apologize for it. No, so in those cases, you see, we have to just say, well, that's unjust and unfair and wrong criticism. I love you. I'm going to pray for you. But that's what I mean. See, I'm trying to get you to understand what I'm saying. But I'm out to please the Lord. But I'm out to please the Lord. People didn't like a lot of things that Moses did. Did you know that? Of course you did. People didn't like a lot of things that David did. They didn't like a lot of things that Jesus did. Just read the New Testament. Almost every page there's somebody not liking something. Jesus, the Son of God. The perfect Son of God. People didn't like things that Paul did. People didn't like things that Peter did. And sometimes people left them. Sometimes people attacked them. Sometimes people unjustly criticized them and found fault with them and vilified them. But they didn't, and we shouldn't change what's right just because someone doesn't like it. We need to speak the truth in love. Now, I know that sometimes people speak the truth and there's not much love in it, but on the other hand, it doesn't matter how much love is in it. Some people, if they don't like it, they just accuse you of not speaking the truth. But we speak the truth in love. And that's what I mean, again, when I say we're out to please the Lord. Now, quickly, let's turn over to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. It goes right along with this, yet it's different. There is another application of the word offended here that we need to understand that's extremely important. We understand, listen to me carefully now, we understand that to be offended means someone is angry, they're resentful, they're unforgiving because they feel like somebody mistreated them or wronged them some way. We're offended. They did something to hurt us. They did something wrong. But the word offended, and God uses it many times this way. It's amazing how many times it's used this way in the Gospels. Also means, sometimes it has nothing to do with being hurt and mad because somebody did you dirty. It also means to not back away from the truth. So this word offended, King James Bible, will sometimes be translated, don't stumble or fall. See, because they're trying to get across, people just think of offended, that means you're upset with somebody. You remember Jesus preached his famous, don't drink my, in order to, you know, you got to drink my blood and eat my flesh sermon. You remember that? And you remember how the crowd didn't understand what he was talking about? even though he explained to them that he's talking spiritually, not physically. They still didn't like it, some of them. And you know what the Bible says? It says many of them left him. Many of his disciples did not follow him. They left him. They walked away and did not follow him from that point forward. Jesus turned to his disciples and says, this is, where's that found? You can look it up. John 6, I think. Is that it? Jesus said, does this truth offend you? In other words, are you going to leave the truth and desert me and walk away from me because of this saying? The word offended is used that way many times in the New Testament. Many times. And so if someone is offended, is somebody who backs away from the truth, backs away from the word, or quits following the Lord, or quits following somebody that speaks the truth to them, they leave them, they distrust them. It means you lose faith in someone that you should not lose faith in, or that you don't arrive at a point of faith when you should have arrived at a point of faith. One Greek lexicon dictionary says this: it means to cause a person to distrust and desert one whom they ought to trust and whom they ought to obey. So these people did not trust Jesus anymore. They did not obey Jesus anymore. They did not follow Jesus anymore because they didn't believe what he was saying. And that's in the New Testament. It said they were offended. So you're not mad because they thought he did him dirty, but they just walked away from the truth. Amen. And so when people don't believe the word, when they don't believe the truth, or when they quit believing the truth because they don't understand, you know, they just don't understand what's going on. I'm confused. I don't understand why this isn't happening. I don't understand why my prayer's not being answered. And they just get all confused and they don't understand why things aren't working. And they quit believing the truth and they walk away from the truth. They walk away from some church that's preaching the truth. They walk away from some message or quit trusting Jesus like they should. Those people are said to be offended. Are you following me? Amen. And of course, if we're offended at the truth and don't trust it anymore, then we won't overcome and we won't walk with good as we should. So it's all important that we not become offended at the truth or at people who are presenting the truth to us. So here in Matthew chapter 11, what did I say a while ago? Did I say 11 or? Matthew 11, verse number 2. Watch this. And when John, this is John the Baptist, and when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. Now he sent two of his disciples to Jesus and said to him, verse number 3, are you the coming one or do we look for another? This is really amazing when you stop and think about it. John the Baptist sent people to Jesus to say, are you the Messiah? John the Baptist, by the Spirit of God, had powerfully bore witness to the fact that Jesus was the Son of God, that he was the Lamb of God, that he was the Messiah. You remember that. And now he's in prison and he's sending people to Jesus to say, are you really him? What's going on here? Amen. In verse number 11 of this same chapter, Jesus said this about John: assuredly, I say to you, many among those born of women, there is not risen one greater than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And so Jesus says he's greater than all the Old Testament prophets. He's the one who has identified Jesus as the Messiah, but he's in prison and he's facing death and he doesn't understand what's going on all around him. He doesn't follow everything. He's under pressure. And so he says, are you the one? Now watch this, verse number 4. Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. There's that word offended. Same word that's used elsewhere to mean you're mad at somebody because they did you dirty and you don't like it and you resent it. Well, John's not mad at Jesus because he thought Jesus did him dirty. Jesus is saying this to John and he's saying it to us. Blessed is he who is not offended at me. Today's Passion Translation. Tell John that the blessing of heaven comes upon those who never lose their faith, no matter what happens. The truth of God's word doesn't always look like it's coming to pass in our lives. It doesn't always feel like it's right. It doesn't always seem like it's right, especially when you're under the pressure of some test or trial. But don't become offended in the sense that because you don't understand everything that's going on around you and you've got a lot of questions and you don't see the full picture like God sees the picture, that you begin to lose faith in God and back away from the truth. That person is an offended person in the sense that it's used here. Amen. Other translations say, don't stumble. See, they'll get away from the word offended because our, you know, in our English vernacular, we just think about somebody doing us wrong. So they say, don't stumble in your faith. Another one says, don't doubt me. Blessed are those who don't doubt me. Another one says, don't reject me and my teachings. In the midst of pressure, in the midst of some test, in the midst of some trial. And we see this word offended used this way over and over again in the New Testament. The idea here is when you don't understand all the whys of what's going on, don't become offended at the truth. Don't reject the truth. Don't doubt the truth. Don't leave the truth. What you do is blessed are they. You know, Jesus said, blessed are those that believe that have not seen. So when things look, when you've got the word of God, when you've got the truth, and you know what the truth says, but all hell is breaking out all around you, and it doesn't seem like the promises of God are coming to truth, and you don't understand, you know, what's going on, and why God's doing it this way, and why is he not doing this, and shouldn't this be happening? That's the time not to quit believing. That's the time to shout more. That's the time to praise more. That's the time to give more. That's the time to keep coming, not quit coming to church. You ought to keep coming to church and stand strong in the Lord. And you'll be all right. You'll see that it all works out just like God had intended. Hallelujah. You'll be blessed every time. Another example. Used a lot of time this morning in other things, but here's another example. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Mark 4, parable of the sower sows the word. You know how important that is to get the word in your heart and for it to produce a harvest. And there's different reasons why different ones didn't produce a harvest. In verse number 16 it says, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, hard ground, you know, who when they hear the word, they receive it immediately with gladness. That's the truth. See, they receive the word. The word's the truth. You should know the truth, and the truth will set you free. My word is truth. They hear the truth. They're excited about the truth. Amen. But verse 17 says, but they have no root in themselves. It didn't go down deep into their heart. And so they endure only for a time. Afterward, when persecution, tribulation, the word tribulation there literally means the pressure of the circumstances. When you face the pressure of the circumstances, you heard the truth, you got excited about the truth, it went into your heart, you received it with gladness, but then all of a sudden it doesn't look like it's working, it doesn't seem like it's working, it doesn't feel like it's working because you got pain in your body, you got thoughts coming to your mind, your checkbook says you're broke even though God says you're blessed financially, and you're a tither and giver, but none of those truths seem to be working in your life, and so there's the pressure of the circumstances. Notice what it says. And immediately they stumble. That's King James, New King James Version. King James Version says, immediately they are offended. Same word, same exact word, translated offense, you know, about people being mad at you, doing you dirty, wrong, so forth. Immediately they are offended. Meaning what? They stumble over the truth. Amen. They're not mad and angry because you were mistreated in this sense. No, they're offended in the sense that it doesn't look like the word's come to pass in their lives. And so they desert and back away from and quit believing and quit following the truth and following God as they should because they are offended. Amen? So the other translations say they stumble. Some say they fall. They begin to not believe the truth. When you quit believing something that you know is the truth, when you desert one who's given you the truth, God, Jesus, a minister, whoever, then you're offended at the truth. And that won't help us. And the seed won't produce a harvest in our lives. Amen. In other words, we won't get the benefits of that particular word that was planted in our heart. One more. Mark chapter 6. We're right there. Mark chapter 6. This is when Jesus went into his own hometown. And it says in verse number 2, "And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, Where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters with us?" So they were offended at him. Everybody say offended. They weren't mad at him because they thought he was mistreating them. No, they were deserting somebody, not believing in, not trusting in somebody that they ought to trust in and believe. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet," verse 4, "is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, in his own house." Now he could do no, not he wouldn't, but he could do no mighty works there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. Why did he go about teaching? Because teaching the Word of God is the cure for unbelief. Why did they have unbelief? Because they were offended at him. Why were they offended? Because they knew who he was. They didn't give him the honor that they did. They backed away from him. And they didn't trust somebody they should have trusted. They didn't believe something they should have believed. And so he was not able to do the same mighty works there that he had done in all these cities because of offense. They operated in unbelief and stopped the power of God from working to heal the sick in this area, just like it had done everywhere else. Amen. They rejected the truth that he was an anointed, mighty man of God, used by God to heal the sick. So they didn't have faith like they should have, and they did not get the benefits of their faith. You know, even Brother Hagin, when he had that visitation and the Lord appeared to him, he said, "I'm giving you a special anointing," a little bit different really than even gifts of the healing. He said, "I'm giving you a special anointing. I've anointed your hands to lay hands on the anointed you to lay hands on the sick." But he said to the Lord said to him, "You tell the people I appeared to you. You tell the people that I laid my fingers in the right and on your hands and told you that the power of God would flow out of me to you to them. And if they believe, not just believe in healing, but believe that I told you these things, then the healing power of God will be transmitted into them." You know, if some man or woman comes along and they're used in an unusual way and you don't believe in their ministry and you're kind of sitting there dubious and doubtful, you know that you're probably not going to get anything from them. Now, there's some people, you know, that you ought to doubt. But what I'm saying is again, it's this whole thing of that's in a person that's offended because they distrust the Word, because they walk away from the truth, because they don't have faith in the Word. Somebody preaches strong the Word of God and they ought to believe it, but they don't. That's because the truth didn't make any difference in their life. That person's offended at the truth in that sense. Now, I'll just tell you this last story because our time's gotten away from us. But you remember on the night that Jesus was betrayed and all his disciples left him. You remember that? Of course you do. You remember they all deserted him. They intended to stand by him. They thought they were going to stand with him. But when Jesus kind of just willingly gave his life up, they all ran. One ran away naked. I mean, he didn't even stop to put his clothes on. John Mark, he ran away naked. I mean, you're pretty scared when you run away naked. I'm going to at least grab a towel or something. You know, you're. You know what Jesus said to them before it happened? He said, "This night all of you will be offended." Did you know that? That's what it says. "This night all of you will become offended because of me. You will begin to distrust me and doubt me and back away from me. You will distrust and back away from somebody you ought to trust and believe in and obey." Even after he was raised from the dead, you read it. Even once he appeared to him, they were like, "I don't know, I'm not sure. Is that really you?" Remember that? "Come here, Thomas. Touch my side, touch my hand." He upbraided them, the Bible says, because of their unbelief. When the women came back to him and said, "He's risen," they said, "We don't believe it." When the two from Emmaus came back, you know, that saw him on the road, they said, "We don't believe it." They watched him die. They didn't understand. Sometimes we don't understand everything that's going around us, but from our viewpoint of being on the other side of this thing, you know, we understand that Jesus needed to die on the cross. We understand that was God's plan, but they didn't. They thought he was going to take over the government and become a king like King David and rule and reign over everybody. And he died. He told them several times that was going to happen, but the Bible says they did not understand what he said. And they didn't. They just kind of went in. I don't know what he's talking about. What do you mean? What is this 3-day stuff? And when I come back raised from the dead. They didn't see it. There was, and so, that, I mean, you know, isn't he the Messiah? Isn't he the one? What about all these great miracles? What about the kingdom and all the things he said to us about the coming kingdom? But he's dead. We saw him die. They killed him. He's in the grave. Now, from our viewpoint, we're on the other side going, don't worry about it, boys. You know, Sunday's on the way. There's not anything that happened that wasn't according to the perfect plan of God. Amen. Nothing he said to you has been diminished. Nothing he said to you wasn't the truth. Everything he said about the coming kingdom, about him, and about the Messiah, and about the Christ, and about the salvation of mankind, all of that. And they understood that after he was raised from the dead. But in the midst of the confusion, in the midst of not understanding, in the midst of not seeing the truth, they got offended, and that they backed away from the truth. They begin to distrust somebody that they should trust. You can always trust Jesus. You can always trust God. You can always trust the Word of God. I don't care what it seems like. I don't care what it feels like. I don't care if you've got a lot of questions and a lot of whys and ifs and what fors and I don't understand what's going on. God's word is the truth. Never back away from him. Never distrust him. Never walk away from it. Never become offended at the truth in the sense that you begin to distrust it and lose faith or doubt it. It is the truth, and it'll always work for you if you'll believe it. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So don't ever, everybody say ever.
Ever.
Become offended at the word. Don't begin to doubt. Don't reject Jesus. Don't got people sitting at home this morning because they're mad at God. Oh, bless their darling hearts. They're offended in the truth. They're offended at God. They're offended at the church. They're offended at ministers because something didn't work out the way they thought it should have worked out. But God did not fail them. God did not let them down. They just listened to the lies of the devil. He's the one that used them and abused them and stole from them in some way. Not God. Not God. Amen. So when these things happen, stand up with me. When these things happen, just stay steady. Everybody say, I'm going to stay steady.
Stay steady.
If you'll stick with the word will stick with you. I said, if you'll stick with God, he'll stick with you. Just stay steady. Don't yield to fear. Don't yield to doubt. Don't yield to discouragement. Just stand strong. Glory to God. Just like I said, just praise louder. Doubt your doubts. Doubt your doubts. And stick with the word. And everything will turn out all right. Say everything is going to turn out all right. Because I believe God. I'm a believer, not a doubter. I stick with God. I stick with the truth. Always. No matter what. No matter what it seems like. No matter what it feels like, God is for me. He's on my side. And I'm not going to distrust the one who has my best interest at heart, who's always on my side, who's always ready to forgive and to show me mercy and to restore me and help me. I turn and run to him, not from him, because I stick with the word. To not do that is to be offended at him. Oh, glory. Lift your hands and praise him and thank him for it. Glory to God. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen. Do you see this? I know this is probably something that most of you maybe never even heard. But this is used over and over and over again. They were offended, they were offended, they were offended. Meaning that they did not have faith when they should have had faith. Are they lost their faith? Are they backed away from Jesus? Are they backed away from the truth? Aha, so the devil's exposed so that we cannot fall from this particular trick of his anymore, any, ever. Glory to God, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God is on my side. He's not against me. He is for me. That's such a wonderful thing to realize. I wrote to a prisoner yesterday who knows more than any 10 preachers, but he's gotten down and discouraged and upset and started talking about, oh, I'm so wrong and I'm so messed up and I've made so many mistakes. And I said, you know better than that. I said, you're going to have to rise up and walk in the truth. And remember that God is a God of love. Remember that all of us apart from Jesus are hopelessly and helplessly lost. Apart from Jesus, none of us are worthy. I don't care if you're a good citizen. You know, I like that saying I seen sometimes that says the being a good person will keep you out of jail, but it takes the blood of Jesus to keep you out of hell. Amen. There are no good people apart from Jesus. There are no good guys or sweet little old ladies. Apart from Jesus, we are all lost, shame-filled sinners that are desperately need a Savior. See, we kind of lost that touch a little bit today, I think, in the body of Christ, because until people come to that realization, they can't get the help that they need. You know, Nathan the prophet did not go to David after he had committed adultery and committed murder and lied about it and everything else. He didn't go to him and say, now, David, Jesus loves you so much and he cares. Now that's true, but that's not what he went. He went and said, you the man. You did wrong. You did wicked. You did evil. And unless you repent, you know, glory to God. So I was telling him, look, we're all what you're describing apart from Jesus. But thank God Jesus made us righteous. Jesus made us worthy. His blood cleanses us. You know, there's one purpose and one purpose for the blood. This doesn't diminish the blood. This is why I personally don't pray in the name of the blood. I pray in the name of Jesus as God taught us. The blood, from one end of the Bible to the other, is for one great and mighty purpose. That's to cleanse sin. To cleanse sin. It cleanses the sin of the unbeliever and it cleanses the sin of the believer that's out of fellowship with God. It purifies us, makes us holy, makes us righteous, makes us sanctified. That's the great and awesome purpose. Jesus said, with my own blood, see, it's his blood. It's not our blood, it's his blood. The name of Jesus belongs to me. That's why I cast out devils in the name of Jesus and pray for the sick in the name of Jesus and tell the devil to get off my property in the name of Jesus. Not in the name of the blood or pleading the blood. That's just no big deal, but that's my strong opinion. To God, hallelujah. Say it again, say it one more time. Say, I absolutely refuse. Absolutely refuse to ever back off or doubt or desert Jesus and his word and the things that are true. And I will not be offended at people who give me the truth. In Jesus' mighty name. Can you say amen? Oh, glory to God. We love you so much. We appreciate you so much. We're so glad we know you and associated with you. And we look forward to good things in the coming days. Amen. Amen. I know. My mind's been in a whirlwind about all this stuff been going on. And Margaret can tell you, I'm listening to different people's thoughts almost all day long from all different kinds of angles. Finally had to get to the point that I cast my care over on the Lord because it was about to get to me. But Jesus is still Lord, and I don't believe he's through with this country yet, do you? Glory to God. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.